we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Of another Dolphins podcast, and let us be the first to wish you a happy Victory Monday, and if you're eager enough, a happy Victory Sunday. Joshua Houts, what seemed like, God, I don't know, 52 minutes of doom and gloom turned into an impressive 20-17 victory. I'm just very grateful the Dolphins came out with a dub.
I think we all are, because we can all be honest. At one point, we're sitting here thinking, this is really the Miami Dolphins team we've been getting hyped up for. Like, this is really what we waited all these months for. And then everything kind of shifted in that second half. But, man, it just feels so nice that we can come in here and talk about a victory Sunday or Monday that truly, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of feels almost like an ugly or a loss, so to speak. So these are games that Dolphins would have lost in previous years. They came away with this one, and a win's a win. That's all we can say.
The Jacksonville Jaguars got the scoring going in the first quarter and actually led 17-7 at halftime. But Josh, what really changed this entire ball game? 2 minutes left in the third quarter. This wasn't the halftime speech of the century turned into the let's come out of halftime and really show them, boys. This was late in the third quarter. Tua finds Tyreek Hill tiptoeing down the sidelines in his Jordans for an 80-yard touchdown. Changed everything, man. This was a real doom and gloom type day. Tyreek Hill, I think Tua missed a connection with him early. Jalen Ramsey was struggling a little bit. There were a lot of issues in this ballgame, a lot of things to complain about, a lot of things to tweet about. But that touchdown to Tyreek, 80 yards, I mean, that changed my entire mindset.
And we're doing this immediately after a game, so our brains are all over the place. But correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that right after Javon Holland knocked that ball loose, or was that a different play I'm thinking? Because I think as soon as he hit that thing home, he came out and they ran that play 80 yards, I think, like you said, to Tyreek Hill, and a huge play. And that right there got us right back into this game, and we're like, all right, this is a Dolphins team we've come accustomed to. It's just funny because before the game even started, right? Tyreek Hill's in handcuffs. We don't know what to expect. And he went out there and he absolutely balled out. So, again, a gritty, gritty win for the Dolphins, and it all started with that huge, huge play to Tyreek Hill.
So just to paint the picture a little bit here, the Miami Dolphins were forced to punt after a four-play drive. They actually got 43 yards, but they had to send the ball away about late in the third quarter. The Jacksonville Jaguars got the ball at their own 3-yard line, and Josh, they started marching right down the field. I was pulling out my hair because the Jaguars were leading 17-7. The Dolphins' defense started so strong. I mean, Calais Campbell had two of the first three plays of the game. I think it was a sack and then a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. But Miami's defense really struggled to have that real big punch in the mouth. But it came late in the third quarter where they were marching down the field. Travis Etienne, he got the handoff at the Miami Dolphins' 13-yard line. And Javon Holland, the one guy who didn't get the payday this offseason, came up with a monster peanut punch, can we just call it? Just a flat out. He came right over the top, smacked it right out of ETN's bread basket, recovered by Kader Kohu. And Josh, that changed the entire ballgame.
It did, and I think that came shortly before that. I think that a couple plays earlier in the game, obviously. Javon Holland, I think he had a pass breakup too, and he got up saying, you know, show me the money. So he was balling out today. And again, that, you know, banging that thing home, hitting that boom, right? The boom, Jake. He punched that thing out. And then to have the kahunas to go, you know, right away to say, you know what, we're going to take our shot deep. You know, it's just crazy because they came out looking so sluggish at times. And we were all just so doom and gloom. And it looked like, you know, it was a tale of two halves, a completely different team in the second half. And we're talking about offense, but their defense held the Jags intact, allowing, you know, zero points on the board, a shutout. So it was an all-around good day, although it wasn't.
It tells you so much that we were not ready for week one when you consider the fact that this game had so many twists and turns. Jaguars leading 17-7 at the half. The Miami Dolphins defense, Josh, found a way to hold the Jaguars absolutely scoreless in the second half. What did you see in that first half, and why do you think the Miami Dolphins were able to do that? Was it just the Miami sun? Was the Jaguars wilting away?
I don't know if they're wilting away, but we saw the Dolphins' defense look decent in the first half, I thought. But in the second half, it just looked like a completely different story, right? We saw Jalen Phillips get a sack. We saw Emmanuel Ogba get a sack late in the game. I please tell me at what point in this game the Jags went forward on what was it, 4th and 2 on their own 32-yard line or something like that? That complete. What was that? That's what I'm saying. What the hell was that? No one, like, we're all sitting there thinking, okay, they're just bluffing us, right? They're never going to snap that thing. And then they ran that play. So Dolphins, we thought they were going to turn it upfield, you know, reverse field and end up making that. But dude, what are you thinking going for it on 4th and 2 on your own 32-yard line with the game in your, I mean, I think they're winning when that happened. I don't understand that play, but it worked in Dolphins' favor.
So it was late in the third quarter. The Miami Dolphins were trailing the Jacksonville Jaguars 17-14, and Tank Bigsby ran the ball up the middle for no gain on 3rd and 1. So that set up a situation where the Jaguars faced a 4th and 1 from their own 32-yard line. And Josh, when you're up 3, I'm thinking at your own 32-yard line, so many coaches want to be that spicy, hip, like, I'm going to be ahead of the curve, I'm going to call the right play. I think we can both agree that the 32-yard line is slightly above that saucy point. Like, maybe if you're around the 50-yard line, sure, but that 32-yard line is way too close to your own end zone to really make a play like that. But Josh, I mean, Travis Etienne, it was a really creative play where I kind of felt that the Dolphin fan in me was going to overcome what the actual play where Etienne the outside, and when he tried to burst back to the left side of the field, Josh, there was like 4 defenders in his way. Past years, we saw that'd be a situation where he'd break right by him, get the 20-yard gain, but I mean, the Dolphins found a way to shut down Etienne for a 2-yard loss and turn the ball over and downs.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw him switch field, I think even Trevor Lawrence got a block in there, and you're just like, oh no, this is so Dolphins. There ain't no way. Like, there's no way. And then just you see guys come out of nowhere and just stop them short, and I'm like, oh man, that gave me a heart attack. And this entire game kind of gave us a heart attack. I wish I would have done a better job taking notes, but I want to give a shout out to Jake Bailey, right? There were a couple punts, big time punts that he had that pinned him deep. Mm-hmm. Can't believe we're actually saying that, but yeah. What else really stood out to you, Jake? Because, again, it was a tale of two halves. That first half, it just looked like the Dolphins were completely sluggish, had all that rust from the preseason still left with them, knocked it off in the second half, but still not a perfect performance. And I guess that's a testament to what the Dolphins have become when you can win games without playing your best football.
Dude, the farthest thing from a perfect performance, the entire first half, and this is kind of what week one is for. Not only are the Dolphins trying to figure things out, I think about those Bill Belichick teams where it was always September was kind of the preseason, the extended preseason where it was figuring things out, trying to really understand your team. I'm still trying to understand how to feel about this team, Josh, because that first half felt like an entire disaster just for the Dolphins continuously going for it on fourth down, failing to get it on fourth down. And it was more than the miss to Tyreek Hill down the field. I really was annoyed with the lack of the ability to run the football. That was my bigger concern for this Miami Dolphins offense, because yeah, there was always going to be the few runs that was, whether it was Raheem Mostert or Devon Achane blown up in the backfield. The Dolphins just failed to consistently get something going. Devon Achane, 10 carries for 24 yards. Raheem Mostert, 6 carries for 9 yards. Jeff Wilson Jr., just to kind of throw it back in my face personally, had 5 carries for 26 yards. He really grinded the clock late in the game. But man, the Dolphins running game just didn't exist in this outing.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that's testament again to how good the Jags defensive line is, but it's probably a testament to, you know, how bad this Dolphins offensive line is. We saw all day, you know, Liam Eikenberg, it was a couple sack, like pressures he gave up, different things like that. You mentioned it before the season even started, you know, how much of Austin Jackson's success came because he had a guy like Robert Hunt next to him, and we saw that entire right side get blown up at one point. So I like the Jeff Wilson usage, Joe. We talked about Jeff Wilson. You know, we both have egg on our face, but utilizing him late in the game when the teams are already tired, I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with that and kind of thought it was a little bit genius on Miami's part. But overall, man, I'm looking at my notes and it's just crazy that they came away with this game. Crazy that they have this type of stats they came out with, and just overall crazy, crazy, crazy win.
Anthony Weaver in this defense deserves so much credit, because I think, Josh, something we've discussed for the last 2, 3, even 4 months is the idea that the Miami Dolphins have spent so much on this offense. It's the idea that, you know, Tua can go out and be a superhero, that you're going to have scenarios where he can have Tyreek Hill running open, and you're not going to miss that shot that they had early in the first quarter that would have entirely changed the game. We were kind of under the impression that, you know, Jalen Ramsey would go out and just be that lockdown cornerback. He had his struggles. But Josh, the Miami Dolphins arrived at adverse city and came out on top. Like, it's corny as it can be, but when we're talking about week one, I don't think we can put too much stock in the struggles the Dolphins had, because it's still those growing pains. It's still trying to figure out your team. And should we consider the fact that none of these starters, or what, 80% of these starters played less than 15 snaps in the preseason?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe this will just have the Dolphins reevaluate things moving forward, right? Maybe they won't, you know, protect their starters as much. Yeah, I mean, after seeing this, I think they should definitely reconsider potentially, because that first half, again, did not look good. But they knocked it all off in the first half, came back in the second half, and we're talking about overcoming adversity. How about Jason Sanders, man? At one point in that game, I believe it was that stop when the Dolphins got him on fourth and two on their own 32. I think Jason Sanders missed a field goal, so they didn't even get any points out of that. But then he came back and redeemed himself. So he has the money sign on him currently, but I know you and I were both, you know, nearly crapping our pants when he came out there. They felt like they were confident in him, and I was like, oh man, you're putting this game on Jason Sanders' leg, and he proved us wrong, man. He drilled that thing, and Dolphins, again, we're 1-0, man.
So that was right after Doug Peterson and the Jaguars decided to go for it on fourth down. They turned it over. The Miami Dolphins got the ball on the Jaguars' 30-yard line, trailing just by 3 points. Started with an H-hand run for 7 yards. You were feeling real good. I think there was a ball that was tipped to Alec Ingold before Raheem Mostert was pushed out of bounds for a 1 yard loss. Josh, that set up a 4th and 4 from the Jacksonville 24-yard line. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, worst case scenario, we have a tie ball game. And that's always a situation where you feel like if you're settling for a tie, you're already preparing to lose. Because I don't know if it was Jason Sanders slipped or what, but he missed the 42-yard field goal. What was going through your mind at that point? You know, you see the Dolphins in a scenario where you're thinking, like I said, famous last words, you know, tie ball game. And all of a sudden, Jason Mundy Sanders is whipping.
I mean, it was probably a bunch of, you know, words I can't even say on this podcast, honestly. I was probably so upset. I'm like, come on, man. I think it was, did you say how long it was? Was it a 42-yarder that he missed? I can't remember. Either way, it was a field goal he normally makes, and I was definitely like, not this again. And then drilled 2 in the fourth quarter. It looks like he had a 37-yarder and a 52-yarder, which they were also talking about that stat on him and how good he's been, you know, consecutive 50-yard-plus field goals. That also made me sit there and say, oh, they're jinxing him. He's going to miss this thing somehow.
Jonnu Smith caught 1 of 2 targets for 7 yards. It kind of felt like he was in a scenario, and even Durham Smythe at times, where maybe those first game jitters were really coming over, the instincts, different things like that. Josh, am I being a hater for saying that maybe I've seen enough Braxton Berrios? He was targeted twice, no completions. It was just a scenario. It just seemed like that the Dolphins needed him to come out clutch in a couple opportunities, and he had chances. They couldn't connect. Whether it's just disconnect or whether it's he just doesn't fit with what the offense needs right now, it just wasn't working.
Yeah, it's not good, was it? It was not good at all. So I'm hoping they can somehow bring it back together, but yeah, I have no idea, man.
Who surprised you the most about this offense, and especially the usage? You obviously had Tyreek Hill leading the way with 7 receptions and 12 targets for 130 yards. Jaylen Waddle 5 for 5 for 109 total yards. Do you have any teams on underdog? Because I was really panicking for a second, because there was a situation where Waddle took a hard hit. He got hit to the head, it seemed like. I felt like there should have been a flag on the play. He had to get checked for a concussion, and it was underdog, and I think there was a couple other apps that were like listing him as out, dude. I was panicking. I was refreshing Twitter pretty quickly, hoping that he'd come back in the game, because he played such a huge role for this offense in the second half.
Yeah, he really did. And you asked me, you know, who else stood out. It had to be Devon Achane, right? You talked about how he had a little usage in the run game, or I guess how many yards he had in the run game, but he made up for it in the pass game. I wish I had it in front of me. Do you have the I'm terrible with this.
7 receptions on 7 targets for 76 Woo! Yards. And Josh, nothing is bigger than her. I think it was early in the game Miami faced. I think it was like a 3rd and 20. And they did a little dump off screen pass where it was one of those things where it's like you call the play under the impression of if it works, great. If not, we're just going to punt it away, feeling it's relatively safe. And Miami was able to pull it out there early.
Yeah, and it's almost like an extension to the run game. I think you talked about it, you know, a couple of years from right now, but the way they get them screens and the ball into his hand, I mean, yeah, I'd love to see that. 12 targets for Tyreek Hill. I mean, do you think they were force-feeding him? We came into this year hearing how they weren't going to, you know, force-feed him, 12 targets, but they had to probably do that after he got arrested, right?
That was such a tough scenario, and it does feel like it's developing into a shoddy Scottie Scheffler-like scenario. The officer involved with the arrest was placed on administrative leave. We've heard that Calais Campbell was actually also detained momentarily during the whole situation. Reportedly, he was trying to talk with police. Josh, what was your reaction just kind of hearing this unfold? I wrote an article for the FinSider. I mean, just hours before the game, to hear that Tyreek Hill is arrested and he's just sitting there in handcuffs, sitting on a little on the sidewalk. Queasy, man. Very queasy.
Queasy, and it seemed like that's so Dolphins, right? This is really how we're going to start this year. And at first, my initial thought was this AI, like, are people just making this up? And then you see videos and you see, like, up close, and you're like, oh my God, what did he do? So more is obviously going to come out about that. But yeah, my initial thought was this is a bad omen. And this is, again, that's so Dolphins. This is something that would happen to the Dolphins, right? First head of the game, the season that we're all so hyped for.
Josh, and something else we have to also deal with is the fact that the New England Patriots are putting egg on our faces. They defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 16-10 after we spent 10 minutes talking about Survivor Leagues. And it's always one of those things, it's woulda, shoulda, coulda. But when you see the Saints absolutely demolish the Carolina Panthers at home, and you see the Bengals struggling with Ja'Marr Chase questionable, and then you have T. Higgins suffer a hamstring injury, man, that is a situation that I'm going to be full, just instead of no regrets across my chest, it's just full regrets for the next 12 months.
Yeah, and I probably had something to do with that. I know race horse in this race at all, and I said that I thought it was easily the Bengals, and here we are, egg in our face. So I don't know if that's a good thing because the Bengals aren't quite what maybe we expected, or if it's a bad thing because the Patriots are clearly better than we ever anticipated. So one other thing with the Dolphins.
Big brisket, dude.
Yeah. Oh God, no. The other thing with the Dolphins was their usage of Alec Ingold, right? In those short yardage situations. I have to throw that out there because I think Alec Ingold picked up 2 third-and-ones or 4th-and-ones. And why haven't they been doing that before? That was my initial question. Why have you been holding that in?
I joked that he looked like Lusaka Polite out there, who for it seemed like 3-4 years was just undefeated in the 3rd-and-short and the 4th-and-short. Alec Ingold was that today. He had 2 carries for 8 yards. He had a long of 6. And Josh, it was 2 third-down conversions. And I think there was even a scenario where Miami, it might have been a holding penalty at some point, but there was a 3rd play that they got it with him too, where it was a 3rd-and-short and it got bumped back to a 3rd-and-6. There was it was a really weird outing for the offense because I was really excited to see the Dolphins do these things where it's like, all right, 3rd-and-short, let's just run the football. But Josh, at the same time, 23 of 37 for Tua Tagovailoa, that's just not a good outing.
And that's what's crazy, right? He, 23 of 37, 338 yards and 1 touchdown. We're sitting here thinking, I mean, your eyes tell you he could have played better, right? Especially in that first half. So, again, there's so much more the Dolphins can do, and they still put up 20 points and beat a Jacksonville Jaguars team that, you know, many expect to be in that playoff hunt. So, definitely want to see better from Tua. He knows he needs to be better, but not the easiest matchup against the Buffalo Bills, although they were taken to the limit too, weren't they? Didn't they almost lose to the Cardinals?
Yeah, Josh, that was a back-and-forth game, but at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that the Miami Dolphins were able to pull out the win with 6 points in the 4th quarter to overcome the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Josh, before we wrap up here, I just wanted to ask you, knocking on wood here, so one of the big conversations entering this week was the Miami Dolphins play in 4 days. They face the Buffalo Bills on Thursday Night Football. They got to stay healthy. And as far as I know, to the best of my knowledge, as of Sunday night, I mean, we're recording this at 5 p.m. We're recording this as a flat out instant reaction, but they escaped with no injuries, I think.
Yeah, knock on wood, like you said, I think that is the case. And again, when you're looking ahead to the Buffalo Bills, you know, your older brother that has been beating on you for so many years, that you need to have a fully healthy staff. And again, I hope they can improve on some of these little mistakes they had this week. What were your thoughts on Mike McDaniel one last time? He had some questionable play calling. I don't know why he continues to go for it on every 4th down he gets a chance to take, but some things that he needs to, I guess, overcome. But that's my thoughts on that.
I think the biggest thing about week 1 is that every complaint we have and that every issue we're trying to work through, it's not a sweeping statement about somebody in their entire career. There were a couple scenarios where, you know, we spent all offseason talking about mobile Tua and what he can do with his legs. There were a couple scenarios where I wish he could have just cut up field where he threw the ball away or he took the sack when they were in field goal range to tie the game at 17-17. I think it was late in the third quarter. My biggest thing is that McDaniel is evolving. Seeing Alec Ingold pushing the football forward on third down is so important. There were so many X scenarios for this Miami Dolphins team. In that first half, I was like, why is Mike McDaniel not this offensive genius we've been waiting for? And why is Tyreek Hill not being the player to have that 80-yard touchdown that he had in the second half? It was so tough to kind of contain those emotions in week one, Josh. But overall, I think it's important just to kind of escape these games. And it's not loser talk because you came out on top.
And then again, that's all that matters. We can sit here. We could have had the ugliest game we've ever seen with our two eyes. And as long as they ended up pulling it out in the end, that's all that matters. So Dolphins are 1-0. We all get to start our week the best of ways. And now we have a huge, huge primetime game on Thursday night against the god-awful Buffalo Bills.
We are coming to you moments after Jason Sanders' 52-yard field goal to top the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We are going to take a day. We will be back on Tuesday evening to completely digest this game against the Jacksonville Jaguars and quickly turn our focus to the Buffalo Bills. But thank you all so much for joining us, whether you're on iTunes, on Spotify, 560 WQAM on YouTube. We hope you enjoyed your Victory Monday. We will talk to you soon. But until then, fins up.
Fins up.
Fins up.